Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church Podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our guest speaker.
Well, amen. I'm just excited about Byron Nichols coming and sharing. I have introduced you to Byron and Rachel and their sweet girls, Lillian and Isabel. And Byron and Rachel have been with our International Mission Board. They've served the Lord. I think their most recent place that they came to us from was from London, where they were involved in evangelism and also some logistics work that they were doing. Byron has a degree from Dallas Seminary. Let me just, I went to Southwestern Seminary, and so that I was in Fort Worth, Texas, and Dallas Seminary is over in Dallas, just a few miles down the road. Some of the names associated with Dallas Seminary are names like Chuck Swindoll, Howard Hendricks, Dr. Charles Ryrie, a man named John Walvoord, a brilliant theologian who wrote a lot on Revelation. Norman Geisler, Malcolm, was at Dallas Seminary for a long time. And anyway, I just really, really have been blessed by that seminary and some of the leaders there. Of course, I love where I went, Southwestern, and then back to Southern Seminary myself. But I just have a great deal of respect for the faculty there and their scholarship. And so when I heard that Byron had an Old Testament degree from Dallas Seminary, it always makes me nervous when I say, open your Bibles to somewhere in the Old Testament, because I'm thinking Byron's out there. And he knows if I get off base. So anyway, folks, we're really blessed to have this sweet couple in our church. Let's welcome Byron as he comes to share tonight.
Wow, that was a pretty hard introduction to live up to, I'll tell you. You have, if you haven't got a blank listening guide, hold up your hands, and these wonderful ladies will get you one. Anytime that you talk about prayer, you feel intimidated. Because what else is there to talk about that you haven't already heard? And there is a profound sense of inadequacy, because you realize that you do not pray as in-depth or as continuous as you ought to. And so it is a very humbling experience. But despite our intimidations and our inadequacies, we press on. And we strive to make our prayer lives better. So I don't want you to think that I'm up here thinking, hey, look at me, I'm the best prayer, and you aren't, because some of you pray a lot better and deeper and are more spiritual than I am. And that's where we have the intimidation part. But tonight we're going to look at prayer and evangelism, world evangelism and discipleship making. That's what we're going to look at. You've noticed your sheets are blank. That's my fault. And I have prepared a PowerPoint presentation. And you will find out very quickly that if you're sitting in the back, you won't be able to read it. So you'll have to listen old school. And back when they didn't have PowerPoints, and just preach the gospel. And we'll see how that goes. but nonetheless, that this is our endeavor. When we look at this book I brought with us tonight, it's called Operation World. Jamie, you can go to the next slide. It's written by a guy named Patrick Johnson, and he has a quote that starts in this book. The name of this book is called Operation World: When We Pray, God Works. This is an old copy. You can find this information on the web, but it's an old copy. But Patrick Johnson said this. He said, the book in your hands, which is the one I have, weighs less than 1 kilogram. Yet if all the desires, requests, and goals expressed in it were to be implemented, it would radically change the nations of this world. Wars would be ended, ethnic hatreds tamed, politicians become honest, ecological restoration begun, global warming and AIDS halted, poverty reduced, and he goes on. You see, that is the power of prayer. And you might think, wow, that I would love all these things and more. This is what prayer can do in our lives. What Patrick Johnson is saying is not hyperbole. He is not speaking over dramatically. He is stating the truth about the essence of our prayer and our prayer life. So tonight we're going to look at some prayer, prayer's role in evangelism and discipleship making. And we're going to have some practical tips. We heard this morning that this is a house of prayer. And so if you came tonight thinking you weren't going to get to do anything, sorry, you're going to have to pray at the end. We're going to get in little groups and we're going to pray. We're going to practice what we learn. And so it should be fun and exciting. So prayer in the role of evangelism. You can go to the next one, Jamie. So when we talk about this, just to kind of clear up some terms. We talked about this a lot, but just to kind of get some terms in our head. Evangelism is basically telling the good news of Jesus Christ. That we're sinners, we're separated from God, and the only way we can get back to Him is through death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. That's evangelism. Now, when we make disciples, evangelism is a part of that. So evangelism, we are doing disciple making when we evangelize. And then our question is, what is a disciple? A disciple is simply a follower of Christ, one who follows Jesus. So our job in discipleship making is to blank the sinner about Jesus and to blank the converted how to be more like Jesus. All right, go to the next one, Jamie. So our job in disciple making is to tell the sinner about Jesus and to teach the converted how to be more like Jesus. Man, it is great to see everyone writing so fast and furiously. I didn't do that on purpose. But anyway, our job is to tell sinners about Jesus and to teach the converted how to be more like Jesus. If we think about prayer is the means of closing the gap as believers between us and God. Prayer is like the language of relationship, and it brings us closer in our walk with Him. So as we look at these two, we're going to look at them kind of backwards. So we're going to look at prayer in the life of the converted, those who are believers. And then the next, we're going to look at the role of prayer in world evangelism. So let's look at the first one. Jamie? So prayer is involved in world evangelism. That's the telling part. And prayer is the means of following Jesus closer. All right, so let's go with the next one. We're going to look in Luke 11:1. So this is the role of prayer in the life of the converted. That's where we are now. Okay, we're talking about the role of prayer in our lives of those of us who are believers. So let's go to Luke 11:1, and I'm just going to read this. It's hard to match the scripture and the PowerPoint together, so you're going to have to listen and write and listen, and there's going to be a lot of things going on. All right, here we go. Luke 11:1. I'm reading out of the NASB, and it says, "It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray,' just as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, 'When you pray, say,'" and then what we have next is an abbreviated version of what we get in Matthew 6. But before we go to Matthew 6, I want us to look at what it says here in Luke 11. Jane, could you go to the next one? We're going to look first at Jesus as a disciple maker. It says here that Jesus had one of his disciples. So Jesus made disciples, and then we'll look in a second about we make disciples. So Jesus made disciples, we made disciples. And what does it say? The first thing it says is that when Jesus was praying in a certain place. So in order for us to teach others about prayer, we've got to spend prayer in time ourselves. Jesus was spending time in prayer himself. His disciples came to him and said, "Teach us to pray," just as John taught his disciples. So a part of our discipleship making is teaching others how to pray. John did it, Jesus did it, and we do it. Okay? And what did he say? I like this in verse 2 of Luke 11:2. It says, "And he said to them, 'When you pray, say.'" Now, if we're going to take the Bible seriously, we need to take what it says and the command seriously. And the word say is in the imperative. It's a command. And it goes into, like I said, an abbreviated format of the Lord's Prayer. Let's go and look at that in Matthew 6. And we're actually going to look at what goes before it. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 7. So Jesus is saying, say. And then he says in Matthew's account, it says, he tells them about the hypocrites. Don't be like the hypocrites who stand out there. And he says, when you pray, go into your closet and pray so that the Father who is in secret sees you. In verse 7, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition or vain repetition, as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So now there's got to be a balance. It's not just about repeating the words of the, we're going to call this the model prayer. Because Jesus obviously says it's not about that. And notice it's not about repetition either. It's vain repetition. It's about knowing what these words mean and then praying them. We don't have time tonight to go through the model prayer. But if you take it, you've probably heard sermon series, Bible studies, life group lessons on the model prayer. You learn what the words mean, and that's what you are continually praying. And that's what you teach others to pray as well. Jesus goes on and he says, pray then in this way. And he gives us then the whole model prayer that we have here. All right, let's go to the next slide. It's basically going to say this. When we start with the model prayer. And the next. And then we start. Next one. And then we start with modeling prayer. You see that? So when we're doing discipleship making and we're teaching people how to pray, we start with the model prayer and we start modeling prayer. You see that? What does that mean? That means we take these words, we learn what they mean, we pray them, and then we teach others the same thing. You can do that, can't you? You can take the time and learn what our Father who art in heaven, hallowed. You can take the time and learn what that means, begin to pray them, and teach others to do it too. You can do that. That's easy. And I would encourage you to do it. Start doing it. So, modeling prayer. Go to the next one, Jamie. So, learn from others. Next. Teach others. And then next one. Teaching them to pray. All right, going to the second part. The role of prayer in world evangelism. We've already talked about, we're going to start with the model prayer. Go to the next slide so we can see what we got here. We talked about Matthew 28, which is the commission of the task. And we talked a lot about the emphasis there is on making disciples, right? We know this. But what is the going part that's included there at the beginning? It's sort of like as you go along your way, make disciples. As you go about your daily life, as you go to school, as you go to work, as you go from here to there, as you go, make disciples, teaching them, baptizing them, and all the things that Christ has commanded us to do. So that's the emphasis there on that one. Let's start with the model prayer again. So Jamie, so again, if we're starting with the model prayer, there's a verse in the model prayer, the next one, that says, your kingdom come, your will be done. You may remember that part of the Lord's Prayer. This is two separate things. It would take us a week to unravel it. But briefly, your kingdom come. What does that mean? When Jesus was on earth, he said the kingdom of God is near. When Jesus was here, he was giving us glimpses into what it's like for the kingdom of God to be present on earth. It's not full, but he was giving us glimpses into it. We find Jesus healing. We find Jesus restoring. We find Jesus reversing the effects of decay. We find Jesus overturning and destroying death. So when that happened, he was showing us what it's like when he reigns and he is king. That's what it means. So thy kingdom come. In our lives, that's what we're going to be praying. Your will be done. Well, then we have to ask ourselves, what is God's will? There's a lot of things included in God's will, but let's look at 2 Peter 3:9. Peter 3:9 says this about the will of God. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing or willing that any should perish, but for all to come to repentance. What's God's will? He wants all men to be saved. You see the very same thing that we have in 1 Timothy 2:4. I'm going to try to get there and read it real quickly. 1 Timothy 2:4 says almost the exact same thing. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. If you ask the question, should we pray for the lost? The answer is a resounding yes. Why? Because the model prayer teaches us how to pray. And in the model prayer, it says, pray for the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven. The will of God is for all men to be saved. We should pray for the lost. And at the end, we're going to give you one way of doing that. All right, so next, God's will is it all to be saved. Okay, the next one. And now, the next question we ask is should we pray for ourselves and others who are doing world evangelism, who are evangelizing here, there, everywhere? Should we pray? The obvious answer is yes, we should. But now, how? How do we pray for ourselves? How do we pray for others who are evangelizing? You are evangelizing. I'm evangelizing. There are other Christians around the world who are evangelizing as well. How do we pray for them? Ephesians 6:19 gives us an excellent way. This is not the only passage, but this is one passage. And that's all we're doing tonight. We're just giving you an introduction to this, and you develop it in your own prayer life, in your own group, and that kind of thing. Ephesians 6:19, Paul has already presented the armor of God, and now he is closing it up. And the way the mental picture that I get in this, he's presented the armor, and he's now saying prayer is what ties it all together. Prayer is kind of what makes the armor fit when you go into battle. Look at what it says. This is Paul the missionary asking the church in Ephesus for this. And pray on my behalf. He's asking them to pray for him. Now, if it stopped there, we would say, okay, Lord, bless Paul the apostle. Let him do his job. And sometimes that's about as far as we get when we pray for the missionaries, when we pray for the evangelists, when we pray for ourselves. But Paul gives us something else that we can pray for that is very helpful for him and for us. He says that utterance may be given. Man, I've got some prayer cards here that I picked up. Maybe you've got these prayer cards too. We got these guys, the Abners. Man, we got these guys. Chris. God, I pray for Chris that he will have utterance and that his mouth will be opened and that he will make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. I pray that for him. You see how I use scripture, and we're going to look at this a little bit, how you use scripture to help you pray for these guys, okay? Now, if Paul the apostle can pray for boldness, what does that tell us about what we need? Evangelism is scary. It's hard. And when we pray, we need to pray for boldness. If the apostle Paul needed boldness, I need boldness. If the apostle Paul needed boldness, you need boldness as you witness too. It's not an embarrassment. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's we need this. We've got to depend on God for boldness. One of the things that is sometimes scary about being bold is insensitivity. And there's something called intercultural communication competence. What does that mean? Well, that just means how to talk to people. How to talk to people here, how to talk to people who are not like you. And sometimes, because of boldness, we've sacrificed intercultural communication competence. And we become interculturally competent, or competent, but the boldness has just shattered it. Now, on the other hand, we've become so intercultural competent, we don't have any boldness. So there's got to be a balance between how to be bold and how to talk to people at the same time. And in Colossians 4:2, I was going to leave this out, but I'm going to go ahead and put it in here. We have something very similar. Colossians 4:2-6. When we've been invited to talk to churches and life groups and different groups around, this was my default setting to go to. I would say to them, devote yourselves to prayer. There are some people that are going and there are some people who are staying. If you're staying, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Keeping alert with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door. God, I pray for the Wheelby family. Steve here, I pray that he will have an open door in which he will present the gospel. You see, that's how I pray for this guy. I pray for an open door so that we speak forth the mystery, speak in a clear way. Conducting yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of your opportunity. God, I pray for Wallace and Dieter Jones, who are living right in the middle of Dublin, surrounded by sinners, contacting them every day, living among them. I pray that they will conduct themselves with wisdom towards these people, and that they make the most of the opportunity that they have every time they're witnessing in and around these guys. I pray this. You should too. Now listen here. This is the part I was talking about, intercultural competence and boldness. We're supposed to be bold. And I think Kurt mentioned this in one of his talks. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Man, that's the part I need. You know, sometimes I think this is what Kurt said. We know how to speak the truth, but the love part sometimes goes sideways. So when we're evangelizing, we can pray, God, give me the speech with grace. Give it to me as salt. Help me to know how I need to respond to others. All right, the next one. So as we're praying for ourselves, ourselves and others, okay? We've got spiritual warfare. We're still in Ephesians. Ephesians 6, we're going back there. And he tells us to put on the full armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. When you start praying in world evangelism, and when you start evangelizing, you will encounter spiritual warfare. In fact, prayer is a part of that process. Okay? Listen, we have seen it even in the secularist world of Europe. We have seen spiritual warfare. And if you're praying, you're going to face it too. If you're evangelizing, you're going to face it too. The Bible says in the model prayer, deliver us from evil, meaning the evil one. This is a part of this preparation that we undergo when we're evangelizing, is this spiritual warfare, this interaction You understand what you're doing is you're stirring up a hornet's nest in the spiritual realm of the evil. The evil one doesn't want anyone coming to the Lord. He doesn't want anyone being saved. And you're praying that that exact thing things happen. Don't think he's going to sit there and take it lightly. It's going to happen in a spiritual sense. There is a struggle there. And we've got to pray for protection and these kinds of things. Now, I'm not saying that every time that a missionary is sick that it's spiritual warfare, but I'm a firm believer that sickness increases as a result of spiritual warfare in the life of someone sharing the gospel and praying for others to come to know them. I really do. When our team was in Cuba, we got the first text that somebody was getting sick. Yeah, I thought this is spiritual warfare. And I started praying for their protection. I said, God, please don't let them get sick. Protect them. Keep them on track. You know, if they get sick, they can't do what they're supposed to be doing. If they're, you know, hugging a toilet bowl, they can't do what they need to be doing. So these kinds of things, you know, and that's what Satan wants. He wants to get us distracted and off course so we won't do what we're supposed to be doing, what we're called to do. All right, we got to keep going. We could talk about that all night. The next one is Ephesians 5:18. We need to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. You go to the next one. The filling of the Holy Spirit. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Listen, there was one time, and I've got to hurry. There was one time I was working in a cancer lab. There was a guy in my lab. And it sounds like it's real important. I was the guy who cleaned up all the radiation, so it was not a glamorous job. He was in there. He was a lab tech. And I just sensed God telling me, man, go talk to him. I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk to him. His name was Zeke. I went up to Zeke, and I said, hey, Zeke, I just wondered, do you have any spiritual beliefs? And Zeke let me have it. I mean, he told me all about his non-beliefs that he had. And I can remember after the fact thinking, you know, what I was saying and what I was doing was not from me. That stuff was coming from outside of me. It was the Holy Spirit giving me words to say. I mean, there are times when you're talking with people and evangelizing them, things come to you that you would not have thought of. That's God's Holy Spirit filling you and empowering you to do the work of evangelism. So when we pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit so that God can take over. You know, this verse is talking about don't let alcohol take over, let God take over. So we go on and it says, these kinds of prayers is very important. You can go to the next one, Jamie. And here's some practical points. The first one is prayer walking. We could do a whole session on just that. We often had groups come. I say often, a couple of times. We've had groups do prayer walking with us, and we've seen amazing things happen. Why? It's because the hearts of the lost people are like hard ground. And this prayer tills that ground up and allows seed to go into it so that it can be watered and God can give the increase. Okay? So prayer walking is one of these ways. When we were in France, we had once a week, we tried to go to a new village and prayer walk for a couple of hours there. And as a result, we began to see that historically there are five provinces of where we were of Brittany. Three of the five people knew about us and our gospel witness. Not that we were there, but they knew who we were and what we were about, which was sharing the gospel. And that was not anything we did. That was God doing all of the work for us. Another example, the 4th of July, we had a prayer team with us. And just very quickly, what happened is we told them, hey, we've got plans. Now, when you're in England, you don't celebrate the 4th of July. But it just happened to be with another American couple, okay? They had invited all sorts of people. You know, they were up for a party, and we were going to the party, all right? We get in there. I don't know how the conversation goes, but the next thing I hear from another room, Rachel is preaching the entire gospel message. I get home and I'm like, Rachel, what in the world was going on in there? She said, listen, somebody asked me what a Baptist believe, and I told them. And I said, hallelujah, you know. So this team that had come had been praying. They prayed all week. That's all they did. They went up down the road. They prayed. They handed out track. They did all this stuff. And that night on the 4th of July, that whole house heard the gospel. And it was a direct result of this prayer walking team. Now, what is prayer walking? This is a crash course. All right. It usually happens with about two or three people. You get together, and it's literally praying with your eyes open. And as you walk around, you notice and be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit and guidance. I'm going to give you an example. I try to do this on campus. It doesn't always work, but I try to do it campus. When you're prayer walking, you're talking out loud. You're talking with each other, and you're talking with God at the same time. I don't have that luxury, so I'm prayer walking by myself, praying to God. But the other day, I saw this girl walking towards me, and she had a white shirt that was advertising Budweiser. Now, the first thing you need to think of is there a scripture that comes to mind, but unfortunately, Ephesians 5:18 did not. You know, do not be drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That didn't come to mind. But what did come to mind is, God, I've got to pray. What do you want me to pray? Now, this is happening very quickly. You got to understand, this happens in sometimes less than 5 seconds that you've got these opportunities to do this. Well, when I'm thinking of Budweiser, I'm thinking of partying and escapism. So my prayer is, and I'm, again, this is all happening super fast. God, I pray that the void in her heart will be filled by Jesus Christ, and that she will come to know you and have ultimate fulfillment in her life. You see? Because my mind is thinking, what does that represent in her life? She's proudly advertising it, and I'm trying to pray for that need and her ultimate need in Jesus Christ. When I see a lady wearing hijab, I pray, Lord, in the name of Esau, send a vision of yourself to her. And dreams that she will see her need for you. And I'll pray in the name of Esau, which is Jesus in Arabic, for those. So these kinds of things. Prayer walking lets you see the needs up close and personal and gets you in the action immediately, praying for others. And when you do this together, you'll learn because people see different things than you see, and it's a great thing. All right, we got to keep going. The next thing is, the next one is prayer guides. This is one. There are multiple prayer guides out there. There's the Ramadan for Muslims. Pastor Calvin and I talked about the Joshua Project. There's some that the IMB send out. There's prayer guides all over the place. Take those. People have invested time with prayer needs, and they have prayers in them that you can pray. That's what this book is. This book is all the countries in the world and prayer requests for them. For every day of the month, for every day of the year. So you can pray through the whole world by using Operation World. You can pray for the whole world. So prayer guides. Okay, next. Praying Scripture. All right. Praying Scripture. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. All right. Kurt, Craig, Pastor Calvin, and myself, we're going to say you need to memorize Scripture. What do you do after you memorize Scripture? You use it. Well, one of the things you can do with it is use it for prayer. Use it for prayer. I'm going to give you an example of how to do this, and then we're going to do it. Okay? You're going to do it. You're going to get in a couple groups, and you're going to pray. I want you to be thinking of some lost person that you can pray this prayer for them. Colossians 1:13, this is the Scripture. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. I don't quite have that memorized yet, so I'm reading it. But let's say you've memorized that. That's the scripture you've memorized. We're going to now turn that into a prayer. And I've did it up here on the board. All right, I'm going to pray for my dad. Here's how it goes. Rescue my dad from the domain of darkness and transfer my dad to the kingdom of God's beloved Son. Do you see how that works? You know what these scriptures words means, and you're praying that for your lost friend, your lost cousin, your lost whoever, neighbor. You use scripture, and it's not just these. You can pray. There's all sorts of scriptures you can pray. You use it as a prayer guide to help you pray for people, lost people, saved people. All right. The next one, I want you to keep that in mind. The next one is then how do you pray for nations? Psalm 67. This is probably the most famous prayer for the nations. John Piper used it to write a book, Let the Nations Be Glad. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to show you how to use it, and then you're going to do it. Here we go. I'm going to read this. Psalm 67 says, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce. God our God blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. Now today in Operation World, it's the country of Australia. We don't have time to get into people groups and nations, but there's a difference between nations and people groups, okay? Nations are political boundaries. Within a country, there are many people groups, okay? For example, in America, there are Latin Americans, there are Native Americans, there are African Americans. These are all people groups, okay? So within a country, there are people groups. We're just going to pray for Australia. I know that's a continent and it's huge, but we're having to do it for the brevity of time. Here's what you're going to do for Australia today. As you're praying, let the people of Australia praise you, O God. Let all the people of Australia praise you. Let the nations be glad, including the country of Australia, and sing for joy. For you will judge all of the peoples with uprightness, and you will guide Australia. Let the Australian people praise you, and so forth and so on. Okay? So what I want you to do, you've got your lost person that you're going to pray for. I want you to get in a little group. I want you to pray Colossians 1:13 for that lost person. And I want you to use Psalm 67 as a way of praying for the country of Australia. Okay? If you know somebody in Australia who's doing mission work, if you know a friend, a lost person, pray for them. See how this works? Pray out loud so that everybody else can hear you. And then in about a minute or so, I'm going to do the same, and then we're going to be done. Okay? All right. Find your people and go at it.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.